We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Hi, Billy. Where did you guys end up on Zach and Kobe? Or are they kind of in a warm-up and see how they are situation?
So three guys out tonight, Kobe, Zach, and Garrett. All three guys will be out tonight.
Hour three of the program, Mike Esposito back on the score with you, and that's Casey Johnson on the Bulls pregame Zoom, and that's Billy Donovan with a huge bucket of cold water on tonight's game against Phoenix. So due to injury, Kobe White, neck injury, Zach LaVine, ankle injury, Garrett Temple, hamstring, will not play tonight in Phoenix. And that's a problem, considering it's two of your best scorers, and in fact, I would say your two best scorers before Vooch came along. But we'll see how they do. Phoenix is a heck of a team out west and playing very well. They're over the 30 win mark. But that was Billy Donovan, and we'll talk lots of Bulls in the next segment with our pal Bill Wennington from our broadcast team. Bill and Chuck Swirsky will have the call of the game after this show, in fact, 8:45 pre, 9 o'clock tip in Phoenix against the Suns for the Bulls. So that is the bad news there. We've been talking a lot of baseball tonight, and why not? It's opening day tomorrow. The Cubs will be here at Wrigley Field. They'll also be here on 670 The Score with Zach's pregame at 12:45 and then first pitch at 1:20. It will certainly be great to have Pat and Ron and Zach back on there. It'll be great to hear Cubs baseball back on these airwaves. The other nice thing to hear, and well, I guess maybe not nice to hear, depending on your point of view, Jed Hoyer earlier today talking about Anthony Rizzo, used lots of positive words about Rizzo and optimism about bringing him back, despite the breakdown, I guess you would call it, of contract talks. Here in the preseason, Rizzo had set an opening day deadline, kind of said he wanted to get it through, get things done before the season started. That didn't happen. Jed Hoyer still remaining optimistic that they can get something done to keep Rizzo in Chicago and playing first base for the Cubs. On the south side, and we talked about this last segment with James Fox from Future Sox. Try saying that a few times real fast. James Fox, Future Sox. Andrew Vaughn is not in the lineup tomorrow. We got a lineup out of Tony La Russa tonight, and it's Leury Garcia in left and Zach Collins, your DH. So Andrew Vaughn will come off the bench tomorrow, and Andrew Vaughn will most likely DH on Friday. And I know Sean Anderson, our producer, had some thoughts on that one.
Yeah, we were talking a little bit earlier, and it's just the fact that this is going to be now delaying Andrew Vaughn's opening day. And there was talk, too, on White Sox Twitter, and I don't know how verified it is, but there was talks that there was going to be an extension today for Andrew Vaughn and that he reportedly turned it down. So I think some people are also wondering, too, does this have to play into it that, you know, now that you didn't sign this extension, you don't get to make your first opening day start. You have to wait another day. Like, they can use the theory and the idea that they want to wait for him to face a lefty in Heaney in their second game. But also Zach Collins is going to start opening day and then have 3 days off apparently, which makes no sense in my mind.
Well, and we've also had Tony La Russa tell us earlier this week that Andrew Vaughn for sure would be in one of the two slots, DH or left field. And then today he told us that he's not. So None of these things are set in stone. But yeah, the Vaughn extension stuff is interesting, Sean. Again, I don't know how much you believe some of that Twitterverse stuff, but it certainly is interesting. It fits the pattern of what Rick Hahn and this White Sox regime, and I'm including Kenny Williams and Jerry Reinsdorf in there. This is one of the things they've done extremely well over the years. It's a reward for young guys, but it's a reward for the team in that they lock up a lot of their best young players to team-friendly contracts. They might make a lot more than they would have the first few years, but then the last few years are to the Sox advantage, and they kind of, you know, whatever the math is that they do there, they make it work. And currently you've got Aloy on one of those contracts, and you know what? Listen, that contract will look pretty lousy if Aloy keeps getting hurt. And you know, we certainly hope that is not the case. Luis Robert is under one of those contracts. Chris Sale was famously under one of those contracts. And you then flipped him for Lucas Giolito, Adam Eaton. That was the, the Adam Eaton trade was Washington. That was the Giolito one. The Chris Sale trade was the Moncada trade with Boston. But Adam Eaton was another one of those value signings, I guess you would call it. And they flipped him to the Nationals for Lucas Giolito. And look who's right back on your team, everybody. It's Adam Eaton. But certainly part of the fun with the White Sox this year, in addition, as James Fox pointed out in the last segment, having probably the best bullpen in baseball with Hendricks, Bummer, Crochet, Foster, Marshall, Hoyer, you know, Kopech, we didn't even mention in terms of, you know, because he's going to likely be your long man there. That bullpen is going to be fantastic. It will be fun to watch them close out games in which the White Sox lead. You could argue that, you know, Giolito, Keuchel and company, you guys go 5, maybe 6, and we got it from here, and you're going to win 95% of those games, if not more, right, with this bullpen. That's impressive stuff, and that's what, you know, championship teams are able to do. Most famously, you remember the Kansas City Royals a few years ago when they won the World Series and they had that 7th, 8th, 9th with Wade Davis and company in there. Soria was out there as well. You also have, in terms of intrigue here, in terms of lineup intrigue, you've got the catching thing. And we've talked about, Sean, actually, you just mentioned, you know, Zach Collins is starting as a DH tomorrow, but then La Russa said something about him not playing the next few days. So what does that mean? Yasmani Grandal every day? No, probably not, but Mercedes is out there, but it'll be interesting to see. You've got three catchers. You got a 26th man now, so remember that. And you've got some parts that are interchangeable and guys that you can move around. So I'm interested to see how this works out. I'm interested to see how La Russa handles this. And Sean, I mean, what do you think as a younger guy? I mean, you probably don't, you don't have the, you know, I have a long memory of Tony La Russa. What do you make of 76-year-old Tony La Russa leading the charge for these guys this year?
I mean, he's got experience. I'm not mad at that. I thought it came out of nowhere. And then the DUI stuff, and especially how it was reportedly handled by Jerry Reinsdorf, where he apparently and reportedly did not tell Rick Hahn, that kind of rubbed me the wrong way. I didn't like the fact that he was coming in with two DUIs on him, and then also the fact that there wasn't conversation between Jerry and Rick, making it seem like it was Jerry's choice. And as a fan, I don't want my owner running the team. You hired Rick for a reason. You hired Kenny for a reason. So I don't mind the actual manager, because he's got three World Series. He's got a ton of experience. And again, everyone has said it, that they're now in win-now mode, and I can't be mad at that, especially if they go out and then win. But yeah. I do worry about the fact of how much control does Jerry Reinsdorf have over this organization, because I think Bulls fans can look and see how much that the loyalty of that organization held them back. And you see this year how excited and rejuvenated Bulls fans feel from the Karnišovas regime. So I just worry about how much Jerry has when it comes to control of the White Sox. That worries me, because he isn't a baseball guy. He's so far been an all right owner. He's got a World Series, and I can't complain about that. But I do worry about if he is controlling the team too much from up above.
Yeah, and I know, and you know, you brought up the Bulls, so I know normally with the Bulls stuff, he has kind of Tried to stay out of it. I know, you know, and this goes way back, but, you know, some of the Jordan contracts at the end when he was doing one-year deals at a time for a ton of money. I think some of that was Jerry direct. And you also had, and famously, he told Scottie Pippen at the time, don't sign this extension, which was the extension that, that Scottie Pippen was eventually furious that he signed because it was a low ball offer or a low ball extension based on what he could have been making. But at the time, Scottie wanted to sign it. And, you know, by all reports, Reinsdorf told him, do not, you know, you're not going to want to have the, you know, we will sign, we will give this to you, but you're going to be upset with this in a few years. I get what you're saying, though, Sean, about having the owner kind of shove a manager down everyone's throat. The players certainly seem to have warmed up to it a little bit. I'm heartened by hearing stuff like we played a cut earlier in the show about Ozzie Guillen saying how Tony La Russa is the right guy for this team because he is going to push them to win right now, which is what they are built to do. That makes me feel a little better because, you know, listen, I covered Ozzie for a lot of years. I trust Ozzie's baseball judgment. And I think, you know, his feeling carries weight with me, right? So if he came out and said, you know what, this is a terrible hire. I just don't think this is the right way to go about this. I'd rather have gone with a younger guy. I wouldn't feel so great about it. You know, I still have my apprehensions. But listen, in terms of baseball, X's and O's, strategy, you know, the guy basically invented, along with Dave Duncan, his longtime pitching coach, you know, how you're going to manage back ends of bullpens. You remember, or maybe you don't remember if you're too young, but Dennis Eckersley back in those 80s Oakland A's teams, and how La Russa and Duncan managed that team and that pitching staff and that relief staff. He certainly has been an innovator throughout his career. He's third all-time in wins, Hall of Fame member already. But how does he handle a young team? I mean, really, you've got some veteran leadership on this team with Grandal and with Jose Abreu. You got a lot of young guys. It's an interesting mix. And you throw a 76-year-old man, forget about his baseball credentials, right? You throw a 76-year-old man in that dugout, you know, it's not automatic. He's got to make it happen. I mean, you know, you have other teams with, you know, with 40-something managers, or in I believe in one or two cases, you know, late 30-something managers, guys like Rocco Baldelli, who played the game until a few years ago. And then you have La Russa, who started managing the White Sox in 1979 for his first go-around. I mean, you know, most of us were either little kids or not born at that time. But La Russa has been around this game for a long time.
Yeah,
long
at least time. The part that I do like, though, is to go to your point about the younger managers. He does have Miguel Cairo as his bench manager. He's 46 and has playing time. And then also Ethan Katz, extremely young, and he seems to be gelling with the pitchers extremely well. So as long as Tony, again, is being the guy at the top, making the smart baseball decisions that he has been making since 1979, it's that's something that does give me hope, especially with the fact that he seems to be vibing with the locker room so far as much as a 76-year-old can vibe.
Yeah, and that's one of the other random and things that I love about baseball is you have Tony La Russa, who started managing the Sox in 1979 and then famously fired by Hawk Harrelson, GM of the team, in 1986. Jerry Reinsdorf always then said that that was the worst worst mistake of his baseball career. La Russa goes on to great success, World Series success with Oakland, with St. Louis, Hall of Fame career. And then here we are in 2021, randomly, and Tony La Russa is once again the manager of the Sox. And Hawk Harrelson is your beloved retired broadcaster. It's all very baseball, and I'm here for it. We're going to do very basketball next with our friend Bill Wennington as we head into Bulls and Suns basketball tonight from Phoenix. Some big Bulls news on the injury front. We'll talk about that with good old number 34 when we return. Mike Esposito with you here on 670 The Score.
And this game is over. Golden State wins at 116-102, so the Warriors have now won 8 straight in this series.
And that was Chuck Swirsky Monday night as the Bulls dropped their fourth straight to Golden State. 116-102 was the score there. They've lost 6 of 7. The music is getting me excited, though, because you know what that means. That means we're heading on out to the Alpamonte Nissan Hotline, Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park on North Avenue, or apnissan.com. There we find the man in the middle, number 34. Find him on Twitter at 34Billy42. It's our friend Bill Wennington joining us. Hello, Bill.
Mike, you know what? I like that saying a little bit because everyone said the man in the middle, but then they always referred to the team like a donut.
No, it's good to throw those out there every once in a while, and certainly good to have you on the show. I know you and Chuck have pregame coming up here at 8:45. The Bulls in
Wait,
Phoenix.
Is today game day?
Yes.
Well, I better
you know what?
I better get to the studio.
Bill, I was going to say, you need to get to Phoenix. You need to get on a plane and find your way there. So we have Bulls and Suns for you tonight here on The Score, 8:45 for the pregame. But, yeah, we just got the bad news from Billy Donovan about an hour ago, not looking so good on the injury front. We wondered on Bulls postgame the other night how bad Zach LaVine's ankle was bothering him. I guess we know now.
Yeah, well, you could tell watching the game, and you can see he didn't have the lift. He wasn't finishing at the rim quite the same way, and obviously it affected his shot. Did not shoot the ball well the other night against Golden State, as it was 4 of 16 from the floor. But, you know, it's never good when a guy sits out because you always want to have the best opportunity to win a game that you can. But if he's not right, then it's better that he sits out rather than this being something that's going to linger on for weeks and weeks. So hopefully he'll sit out tonight. They'll reevaluate it in a day and see how he's feeling when the team gets to Utah, and we'll go from there.
And the other injuries, if you're just joining us, so Zach LaVine, ankle out tonight. Kobe White, I assume it's the neck spasms, out again tonight. And then Garrett Temple tweaked his hamstring the other night, so he will miss tonight too. And I wanted to ask you about Kobe. I mean, neck spasms, is that – I mean – I guess people understand a broken bone or a sprained ankle, but what is it? What when they say neck spasms, what are they referring to, and how does that manifest itself? I'm struggling to understand what he means by when they say he has neck spasms.
Well, Mike, lucky you're talking to me now, because I've just gone through a pinched nerve and neck spasms, and I know exactly what he's talking about. And I'm one that usually tries to tolerate it, and I've actually been dealing with this since December.
Okay.
And it started off mildly, and I was just having a numbness going down my arm, my right arm, and a little tightness in my neck and shoulder, and it would be on and off. But then about 2 weeks ago, it got unbearable at times, and so I had to go to the doctor, and they gave me some medicine, and the medicine kicked in and started working after about 3 days, and it feels much better now. But now I'm still going through physical therapy, and it could be anything from severe tightness where you can't turn your head left or right to tingling or numbness going down your arm. And I don't know exactly what's going on with Kobe, but I know neck pain can be very difficult and painful to deal with.
Yeah, the more you know, and I'm glad I did ask. I did not realize your recent neck issues. I appreciate the intel, though.
And just so you know, Mike, it has nothing to do with necking.
Yeah, right. It's the old spasm there, and we have lots more to find out about Kobe. But it stinks when you talk about when you have guys out, and you know the two top scorers on this team outside of Vucevic, who is obviously a new player, that's a bitter pill to swallow, especially against a very good Phoenix Suns team that is currently 32-14 and atop the standings in the Pacific.
You're absolutely right, but then as the saying goes, when a door is closed, a window is open, and that's a window of opportunity, and especially when you're looking at guys like Brown and Green. Aminu, the new guys here on the team, are going to have more opportunities to play in that backcourt and see what they can do. So in some ways, it's good in that way. I mean, you try to find the silver lining in every situation if you're an optimist. It's always bad when someone's hurt if you don't have the best possible opportunity to win. But everyone on this roster is here for a reason, and especially now with five new players, and really yesterday was the only practice they've had, a full practice where they can go out and work on things and figure out the timing and the rhythm of the offense and the defense. It's another opportunity for these guys to get playing time together to figure it out, albeit under fire in a real game. And you'll have to see how they do. But so that's the aspect that Billy Donovan has to look at it right now. He's still trying to figure out who can play with who. And obviously, it'd be nice to have everybody play with Zach LaVine, but he can't do it right now. So we'll find out just what they can do when they're out there.
Bill Wennington, our guest, a few more minutes with him. Mike Esposito here on 670 The Score. We have Bulls and Suns basketball coming up. Pre-game at 8:45, tip at 9, right here on The Score and the Bulls radio network. And Bill, as we look at this, and we talked previously about rotations and about starting lineups, and we heard from Lauri Markkanen a little bit after they moved him to the bench, after Billy Donovan went and talked to him and said, "Hey, I want you coming off the bench." He didn't make a big stink of it, but he said, "Listen, I think I'm a starter in this league." I think he handled it pretty well, but certainly I think he would rather be starting, right?
I think everyone would rather be starting, but when it comes down to it, you'd rather be playing and getting paid. And
right.
and that's the way it works. But you know what? This could be an opportunity for him to figure out exactly who he is and how he approaches the games and what's best for Lauri Markkanen and what is best for the Bulls. And again, and I don't know exactly what Lauri Markkanen's thinking in his head, but I do know for myself, when I was coming off the bench, I thought I was better than Luke Longley. I'm a much better scorer than Luke Longley was, but he's a better defender. Mm-hmm. And when you look at what the Bulls are in the starting lineup with Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, and Ron Harper, you don't need another scorer. You need a guy that can facilitate passing out of the low post and play defense against guys like Patrick Ewing, and the big center, Shaquille O'Neal, the big centers in the NBA. So me coming off the bench gave the offense a little bit of a spark, could open up the floor a little bit so guys can drive the lane. And Lauri's got to look at it that way. So, all right, but this is an opportunity for me to really worry about my game. And if you think about it, coming off the bench, you're going to be the main offensive piece when you get out there, and you'll be the focus point. And if you're a starter, you're going to handle it much better coming off the bench than not. And we'll find out a lot about Lauri and how he reacts to this and how he does.
Yeah, and I kind of thought exactly that. It's like, I want to see Lauri, you know, because he is the top option there on the second unit as they come in, whereas you don't have to, you know, fight for shots with Vooch and with Zach and with the rest of the starting lineup. And the second unit, obviously, as you mentioned in your own situation, right, you need scoring in the second unit. It's a different dynamic coming in. And a different mix of players. So I certainly think an opportunity for Lauri, and one that I know we've debated on these airwaves with lots of people and with our listeners as well, is Lauri a long-term piece? I know they could not agree to an extension before the season and may still do so. We're not sure as to how everything is going to play out, but he's really holding his future in his hands right now.
He really is, and he's got to bet on himself and make it happen. And one of the things that Lauri has to do is just be consistent. And you can't have games where you go out and you shoot, you know, 5 of 9, which is not bad the other night, but you only had, I believe you had 6 points in the second half or 5 points in the second half. You mm-hmm. got to play consistently. You can't have nights where you shoot 3 of 15. You always got to keep that number up there and keep your points up there, especially when you're being counted on to be that offensive threat. And then defensively, you got to at least do a little bit better job. As right now, teams are kind of picking on Lauri a little bit and forcing him to move his feet laterally and challenge him to stay, keep growing.
Yeah, and Bill, and I know one of the things we've talked about several times now since the big trade deadline day with the Bulls making those moves, has been the defense, and the defense not looking as sharp as it needs to. The new pieces kind of feeling their way into the rotation and feeling their way into their new organization. But how do they pick it up tonight against Phoenix? And you mentioned Utah is the next game. It only gets harder. In fact, if you look at records, you know, Utah has got the better record, but two of your more elite teams in the league.
Yeah, well, you gotta limit your mistakes, and honestly, in my opinion, that's been the Bulls' problem pretty much all season. Turnovers has been horrendous. Bulls last in the league, 30th in turnovers, averaging over 16 a game. The starting lineups just came out, and Lauri Markkanen is actually going to start tonight.
Oh, see,
so Bulls actually going with a big lineup with Markkanen, Vucevic, Williams, and Thad Young. in the starting lineup, along with Thomas Satoransky. So going with a big lineup against this Phoenix team, and maybe, you know the old saying, Mike, size matters.
Yes, it does. Well, they'll be out there against, the Suns with Chris, and I love Chris Paul. I'm sure you do as a basketball guy, too, the way he plays the game. But they have a lot of interesting pieces, Phoenix. You know, Devin Booker is great. He can fill it up. Ayton in the middle is a big presence. But this is a team that's well put together. And, you know, they're going to have to be pretty flawless to win tonight, I think.
The Bulls really are. And the one thing about this Phoenix team is they're not a huge points in the paint. They're not attacking the rim, and they're not getting a lot of points in the paint. They're actually 23rd. They average 45 points in the paint. So it'll be interesting to see. But they're also not a huge three-point shooting team. They average 34 three-point shots a game. The Bulls average 34 themselves. Not a huge discrepancy there. So it'll be interesting to see how Bulls' big lineup goes against this Phoenix team. It does take some mid-range shots, and I'm not saying they never score in the paint, but they just don't score a lot in the paint. And it'll be interesting to see how the Bulls react to that and how Phoenix reacts to a big lineup out there on the floor with Thad Young possibly playing the two or the three position.
Yep. And last thing for you, Bill, and I appreciate you jumping on ahead of pregame to talk about this game. And I think we agree on this pretty strongly. Patrick Williams, as you know, halfway through his rookie season, continues to grow, continues to show signs of potential greatness. I don't want to say that he's there yet because he's not. But I think if you're the Bulls and if you're a Bulls fan, based on half of season and what we've seen so far and the growth he's shown, I think you have to be pretty excited about what he can be going forward.
You absolutely do. You got to love the way he's been aggressive all season long defensively, playing, getting matched up in his rookie season against the best players in the league and holding his own. The knock against Patrick Williams was his shooting, but he's shooting 46% from the floor, 37% from behind the three-point line for a rookie who's not a three-point shooter. That's terrific. That's really, really good. And he's not known as a three-point shooter, but 37% for a guy coming into the NBA that's not known as a three-point shooter is absolutely terrific. And then the ability he has to finish at the rim, put the ball on the floor, and really bring home the thunder with some great dunks has been phenomenal. So I'm excited and ecstatic for him going forward. Really looking forward to next season when we get a normal training camp, I hope, and see him how he performs in his second season.
Yep, I'm excited for it too, Bill. I'm excited for you and Chuck to have the pregame and the call of the game tonight. We'll be listening and hopefully get a win against those Suns.
You got it, Mike. Always a pleasure, my man, and we'll talk to you later on down the lines.
Talk to you down the line. Appreciate it. Bill Wennington, part of our broadcast crew, Chuck Swirsky, and Bill will have the game for you moments from now, the pregame moments from now anyway, at 8:45. And Bulls and Suns tip at 9. If you missed it, the news, Coby White, Zach LaVine, Garrett Temple, all out of tonight's game due to various injuries. So your starting lineup, Markkanen, Sato, Vucevic, Williams, and Thad Young. We are out of time. We need to make way for that Bulls pregame show. Our thanks to Sean Anderson and Mike Rankin. Appreciate your great job, guys, back at the Score Studios. Thanks to our guests, Bruce Levine from our staff, Jay Croucher, PointsBet head of trading, Tony Andracki from Marquee Sports Network, from Future Sox, James Fox, and Bill Wennington, who you just heard right now. Mike Esposito here with you, signing off. It's been a pleasure. Hope to talk to you again soon. And again, stick around for Bulls basketball as the Bulls play in Phoenix right here on 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.